and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 7. Verse number 26 is where we left off last time. Let's back up here to what the Lord says in his answer in verse number 20. John 7, verse 20, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel in the healing that he has done. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" And so we considered last time about this passage, kind of musing of, in regards to, are they saying that the rulers do know that he's Christ, but because of their king, the fiefdom that they have, the setup that they have, they're wanting to keep him from us, and they despise him? Or is it so that we see that he is Christ and the fulfillment of such, but the religious leadership of the day, which have told us all of our lives that they know the way to God, they know the word of God, they know how to instruct us and such, we see him, but they don't see him? It's kind of an interesting question that's asked here. In verse number 27, it goes on to say, "Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." And so they're talking about Jesus, they know that he is from Nazareth. And I find a very interesting thing in the scriptures that as the different religious leaders and such, as they address the Lord Jesus Christ, they deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a developing hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, they never ask him where he was born. They know the passages. The scriptures are there. The scribes in the days of Herod, in the days of the early life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the wise men came to visit the Lord Jesus in his youth, they inquired. Herod inquired of the scribes about where Christ would be born, and he told them, or they told him, Bethlehem. And so they never asked the Lord Jesus where he was born. Because he came from Nazareth, they made the assumption that he was born in Nazareth. And, of course, Nazareth being of no reputation, it was up there in the region of Galilee that was just not esteemed highly at all. And then the reputation of Nazareth was a reputation where thieves and robbers and such lived. And highwaymen and such as that, if we understand things historically correctly. So they just made this assumption that that's where Jesus was born, and he was from Nazareth. So they're saying here, the people are saying, well, we know he's from Nazareth, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. And that's another verse that I've scratched my head about. Is this something that they've been taught? Is this something that is going to be that maybe the those that sit in Moses' seat, the religious leadership of the day, they teach that the Messiah, a mystical aspect about the Messiah, and that it'll be unknown where he comes from and is not known? Or is this just a revelation of their ignorance of the scriptures, that the scriptures indeed do tell that Christ will come from Bethlehem, be conceived of a virgin, and then will be born, a marvelous, miraculous thing that God would do to show his power, And so it's interesting, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Is this something that they've been taught, or does this show their ignorance of the Scriptures? Verse number 28, listen to what it says here. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. And so he says, you know me, you know where I come from, earthly speaking. And he says, I'm not come of myself. He's told him this in the past, that he's not a freelancer, but he's come to do the will of the Father that has sent him. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. He makes a direct accusation to them that you do not know the Father. You don't know God. You don't know the Word of God and those things that have been even prophesied of the Lord Jesus. In verse 29, he says, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. So yet again, another testimony that the Lord gives, that he's not a freelancer. He's been sent by the Father to do the will of the Father, and he is fulfilling that perfectly. Verse number 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Jesus is in control. Jesus is on a time frame. The things of the Lord's life, his ministry, his coming death, are ordained of God. They're on a time frame. It's in the hand of God. They sought to take him. They're trying to figure out a way to do so, but it's not time, because his hour was not yet come. It's not time for the Savior to be yielded into the hands of wicked men. Verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? When Christ does come, they say, is it possible for another to do more than this man has done, with the miracles that is done, the great speech that proceeds from his lips? Can it be that there would be another that would speak greater than this? We have the Scriptures. We have the testimony, the writings of the prophets. We have the teaching of those that instruct us today. Is it possible that it could ever be that any man would speak greater than this? Any man would do greater than this? When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Having not learned letters, will a man be able to come and speak greater about the Word of God than this man? And so they many believe on him, and they ask this question, is it possible that there would be another? Verse number 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And so that the leadership is getting concerned. They're taking measures to apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of it. And these that are going to come to take the Lord, it'll be interesting what they say, and the power of God manifested in them. Verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Another claim of the Father. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. So he is speaking to them, somewhat in a veiled language. He is talking here about his ascension to the Father. He's talking about his after he yields himself to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, then man will have no control or no ability over him. At the appointed time, man will have ability over the Son of God, yet. And their abuse of the Savior, their condemnation of the Savior, their crucifixion of the Savior, they will not be able to take his life until he yields his life as it is appointed. And so he says here, I'm going to a place, I'm going in a way that you cannot come. There's coming a time, I'm with you now, but I'm going back to the Father. And there'll be a time you'll look for me, and you won't be able to find me. And where I go, to heaven, you won't be able to come. Verse 35, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? They're thinking earthly again. They're thinking about what can he do on the earth. They would be less likely to pursue him amongst the Gentiles. Their ability to do so very well may be limited, as it is not limited in Judea and Galilee and Samaria and such. He says, is he saying he's going to go among the Gentiles? Is he going to start teaching to the Gentiles? Verse 36, what manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? What's he saying, they're asking? What is he getting at in saying this? Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, and so this feast is taking place, and he has gone to this feast. Remember, early on in the chapter, he was challenged by his brethren about going up to the feast. It seems that if I'm remembering right, it is the feast of unleavened bread, the Passover and unleavened bread. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. And they're talking to him about, no, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Sorry about that. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a feast that lasts for a week. And in verse number 2, it says this. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So this is in the fall, and it's a holy convocation that's going to be called. At this feast, the great day, that great day of the feast is what that reference is, the last day of it. And so he stands and he cries these words, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, present tense, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so here the Lord stands up on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day of the Holy Convocation, when all those that are there are together to worship God and to hear the Word of God read, to hear, to see the sacrifices, or to be at hand when different sacrifices and offerings are given, whatever the Lord has ordained there for Israel to do regarding the Feast of Tabernacles in that last day. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Unto the Lord. Not unto the waters of baptism, not unto church membership, not unto good works, not unto payment for sins by filthy lucre and the wealth of the world. But he says, come unto me. He that believeth on me, he says, on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ will have a fountain of life springing up within. Well, see that our time is past. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.